Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self. Do call in with your questions, comments, concerns at 845-277-9406. Call in to Identity Theft of the Self with John Warren and Ellen Hartwell at 845-277-9406. Let's discover together, what is the self? How do we use that inner unencumbered self to create the reality we desire? Call in, share your experience, 845-277-9406. And again, we welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self.
Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, or good night, wherever you're listening from. Good morning, John. How are you today?
I am really, really good. I missed doing our show the last 2 weeks.
I know.
What was that about? I know I was away 1 week, and you were busy 1 week. It just happened, but we can't do more than 1 week off at a time from now on. That's my new rule.
I agree.
So change your life. I will not change my plans, but you must change yours.
All righty, then. Trying to steal myself, are you?
Oh,
Mr. Warren, that I have manifested a lot of very important things in my life, and they did take up some time. Now, if that's inconvenient for you, you make sure that you let me know. But I'd like it in triplicate, please, in snail mail. And when I get it, I'll put it on the top of my desk, and I'll go, oh, there's something from John. And I will get to it, okay?
Yeah, eventually. I know how you roll. No, we both had wonderful manifestations, yours in particular, in the last week, and good on both of us. I did miss the show, but I'm great. I'm glad we're back. It's a lovely day on the West Coast, and I think it's probably a lovely day on the East Coast.
Oh, it is.
As well.
Stunningly gorgeous, of course, yes. And today, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about joy. Why do we pursue joy when we don't even know what it is? Oh, my goodness. Well, I've been thinking a lot about this, John, and listeners. And the whole concept of joy, I think, is overrated and underrated simultaneously. I don't think that we all go around doing the happy dance every minute, every second of our day. Or at least I don't know anybody who's that evolved. However, it is a wonderful goal to have. Why is that? Well, because joy is a very important piece of manifesting or demonstrating that which you desire. I believe, I am learning to believe, that without joy, we don't manifest jack poop. I said poop. And so we don't manifest jack poop unless we have a relationship with a higher power of some kind. B, gratitude for all that we've had, all we have, and all we will have. And C, joy. Now for me, and I'm going to ask you to define it too, John, but for me, I have discovered that joy is a sense of continuously abiding in the presence of what for me is God, Spirit, Universe, Jesus, Muhammad, Allah, I don't care. But for me, joy is abiding in the presence of a power greater than myself that is always within and around me, working on my behalf at all times. And I co-create the reality I desire better and better every day. And if I do my practice, and if I stay in that abiding joy, which is a consistent presence of something, that animating force, that bubbling river of life within me, if I stay in that presence and I contact it frequently throughout my day, I have joy, and that is not dependent on external circumstances. We all have our challenges and our sorrows and our heartbreaks and our whatevers. We live a life here and we're still in the flesh, and the flesh perceives these things as catastrophic or terrible or sad or whatever. But if we just take a moment and go to the spirit, that animating force within us where joy abides at all times, then those things don't seem quite so important, quite so catastrophic, and we can move through them with more grace. So for me, pursuing joy right here, I have to go a very small distance to break through the veil of the flesh into the important, wonderful, infinite love, infinite mind, infinite intelligence, infinite creation that lives within me and around me at all times. Thank you, God. Okay, John, for you, what is yours? How'd you like that one?
I'm chasing the caboose here. How am I going to grab onto this and get on this train?
You will, John. I know.
I know I will. I know
what
I will.
Joy.
That's one of those questions that's too broad. I love this topic. You sent me your notes on this. I think on Wednesday, and I was like, oh, great, perfect. The reason is because, you know, in the world of, you know, the law of attraction world, which has become so popular, especially in the 21st century, but certainly it's been around forever, as we know, it's almost too, you're right, it's underrated in the sense that when we are in a state of, and I think this is, we have to define the difference between joy and, like, ecstasy or happiness. Because I'm going to be honest with you, Ellen, I think you can be in a state of joy in a very unhappy situation.
Yes.
And it is, you are right. It is when you are connected with, and again, there are 1,000 words for this, and we are all very prissy a little bit about dancing around. We don't want to offend anybody or turn anybody off. And it's like, so, you know, whenever I say God or the source of life or the universe or Allah, or, enlightenment, being in a state of enlightenment or bliss, are connected with all of those things. Just use whatever word you like. Plug in whatever word you want. But joy is a result of staying as consistently connected with that thing that animates behind us, that animates life, as you can right now. And I think this comes from me, but maybe it comes from you. I don't know where I got it. I actually do know where I got it. I got it from a spiritual mentor of mine years ago. This is a practice. So when you're practicing this, practice staying in that presence. It's like, okay, there's something big animating my life. There's, or in a 12-step program, you call it a power greater than yourself. Mm-hmm. That is animating, that I'm connected to here. And you're to worship it, be in awe of it, be present with it. Find a way to stay as present with that presence as possible. Joy then is a result of that. And honestly, if you've never done it or you do it, you've never done it, even 1 minute a day will revolutionize your day. And if you can remind yourself and here's one. Zen Buddhism is very big on the West Coast now. I don't know, probably in the United States in general. But what you would call it in that case is mindfulness. The word would be the same thing that we're talking about here is mindfulness, being present in the presence of being present. That will automatically take you to that spot if you continue to practice it. And in my case, Ellen, it's in fits and starts. It comes and it goes. I lost it at the grocery store this week. That's an honest to God story. I had to leave I didn't lose it. I lost it. I got very angry and outside of myself about a situation. And you know, guess what? It wasn't about the grocery store. It was about something else. I mean, I had to wait too long for something I didn't. It was just one of those. Like I live in a big city and I got impatient and I'm not perfect. I will drive down and, you know, to the point here, which is that I want to dovetail into what you said about joy. Is the thing about joy is, other than it's a great state of being to be in, I'm going to be honest with you, I practice this stuff because I want something. I wish I was beyond that spiritually, but I'm not. And I wish that the law of attraction and this whole spiritual practice would be more honest about that. It's like, I'm practicing this because I want to be better at it. And you said it. I made a note of it just now in your opening remarks. because we get better. I want to get better and better at this practice every day. And there is a point where the things that I want in my life, whether they be greater love or more more you know, material abundance, or you know, whatever it is, greater health, don't matter as much as the practice. That is true, but let's be honest. I'm practicing this because I want to evolve things. I want to play in the realm of the Lord, as it were. I want to see what's happening, how this works in my life. Practice is better and better. Here's what staying in touch with that presence, which the result is. The result is joy. It's not the cause. It is the effect of staying present and as connected as consistently as possible. If that's 2 minutes a day, that's 2 minutes a day. Tomorrow it will be 2.5 minutes, and then it will be 3. And the result will be that you will be joyous and fine and abiding in the peace that passeth understanding in situations that otherwise in the past would upset you deeply. That to me is where joy is. And when I say what is joy, and the reason for that, the reason to practice that, or what not the reason, but one of the reasons is that, and in fact, things will manifest more readily when you are in that state. And it's just true. It's just true. I'm not sure I believe that you can't manifest if you are in a dark and angry place. You do. When I got angry at the grocery store, I manifested something.
Oh, sure.
I mean, there was a result of that, and I'm not exactly sure what it is, but there was an event the next day at work. I'm going to be honest with you, at work, that I reacted to, and I had an emotional connection to, and upset me. And I don't know exactly the direct line between that momentarily losing my temper or getting angry at the grocery store and the next day. That I don't know if that's the direct connection, but I do know that there is. I paid for that moment, put it that way. I know that I paid for that moment. And so the practice of staying in the present and the practice of being in joy, then what happens in your life is manifestations of a higher vibrational level do in fact materialize. They do in fact come. And really, it's so much fun, Ellen, when you are in that state to notice how the manifestations are happening, going, oh my goodness, look at that. That is what, you know, Jung would say synchronicity, but, you know, I think it's greater than that. That's actually a result of my being present, my being connected and present to the God of my understanding, or to whatever it is that you believe. Doesn't matter. Make sense?
Absolutely. And we're always creating. My mentor, one of them, said, you know, we're always creating. Let's do it consciously. So when
yeah.
we lose our temper in the grocery store, or we yell at the kid or the dog or whatever it is, we're creating something there. And if we just take a moment and make it a practice to take a moment and go, okay, yeah, I can get mad in the grocery store because I had to wait too long or they didn't have the item I wanted or yada, yada, blah, blah. We can do that. We can choose that. Or we can wait a moment and contact that higher power within us and go, okay,
mm-hmm.
help me to make a choice that allows me to continue to create the reality I desire.
Mm.
And it's
beautiful.
It's consciousness. You know, we can be angry and want to say, oh, yeah, well, you are really, I ordered this item 5 weeks ago or whatever. And
mm-hmm.
you know, yes, we can choose to do that, or we can get conscious and say, you know what? I'm not going to let this throw me, because within me is a power beyond definition, beyond love, beyond any words we have in any of our languages to describe. And I can use that inner power to make a choice that says, okay, as I make this choice, I am creating something I desire, not something I don't. So if I go off on the neighbor because their dog did cocky on my lawn, guess
mm-hmm.
what? Someone's going to go off on me for something, and I don't want that to happen. And so
mm-hmm.
I try, and it's a practice, and I'm not perfect at it, but is it a practice to just take a minute and choose to do something that I'm going to like the vibration of, I'm going to like the consequences of, or the natural repercussion of what I just did or what I just said. And I think that's important, as important as a practice, and it is mindfulness, John. It is contact with with spirit. And as you know, for me, it's God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and universe. And for others, they may have different labels. It doesn't matter. And I don't think it's offensive in any way to call a God the name that we call that God. I call it God. I call it Jesus. I call it spirit. And if somebody else calls it Buddha or Allah or Vishnu, we're talking about the same force, the same energy, in my not very humble opinion. Yes?
Oh, no, I totally agree. And I don't know when we have to take a break, but I have something
we
to
do.
Add to offense. Yeah, go ahead and take it. I'll give my little two bits about the word offensive, which I think is being misused and overused. And I said it just because with my tongue in my cheek a minute ago, but I know we have to take a little break, and then I will rant for 30 seconds with love and joy, and we'll come back.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to share an experience of yours with joy or having trouble getting to that inner joy, just give us a call, 845-277-9406. We will be back on the air in just a moment and listen to John Rant in love. We will be right back. Did you know that you can easily get a hold of John Warren? Yes, you can. Go right to my site, ellenhartwell.com, and you'll find him there. Click on his very own page and have a good little chuckle, because it's a funny page, and I'm not telling you. You have to go look at it. Anyway, John is not only a very, very talented psychic and will give you a phenomenal reading. He's also, as you know from listening to our show, extremely talented in helping you to manifest the reality you desire. He'll help you uncover patterns that are holding you back. He'll give you the skills, the affirmations, the guidance, so that when you look at your life, you'll say, I'm so glad I called John Warren. Thank you, God. Thank you, John. So get in touch with him today at ellenhartwell.com. Tis true. This is Identity Theft of the Self. We welcome you back. And now in 3, 2, 1, go, John, go.
Well, first of all, I'm blushing from that ad. I didn't know you were going to run it. A and B. So I said the word offensive because I don't think it's offensive. I think it's a silly, overused word. And there was an event in my town a few years ago about changing the city seal because somebody might be offended by something on it, even though it was absolutely part of the history of this town, Spanish missions being what they were. I'm in Los Angeles. They were Spanish Catholics. Mm-hmm. Are the people who started California, whether you like that or not, or you're not a Catholic or you're not a Christian, doesn't matter. And they wanted to take the cross off the city seal because somebody might be offended by that. And I thought, I will tell you, I think, wow, talk about gratitude. If that is something in your life you have time to be offended about, your life is really, really, really good. And because that is minor, that is minutia. And that's all. I said it with my tongue in my cheek because it bugs me. It bugs me, whether you're Catholic or not, and I'm not Catholic. That is part of the history of the city that I had lived in for many years, and I don't know why it would be removed from the city seal. I'm not the topic of joy, but I'm glad you started.
No, it isn't. Because when we allow ourselves to go, oh, that's offensive. Now, some things are. I tell people all the time, you have to work really hard to offend me. You don't have to work hard to hurt my feelings, but you have to really work hard to offend me. And I think it's important to remember that we've politically corrected ourselves right out of telling the truth. And so it is attached to joy, because if I'm all worried that someone's not recognizing that I'm a powerful woman and that I can do what I want and I can create whatever I want, and just because I'm a woman doesn't mean I can't. If I'm all worried about that, I am not practicing joy. I'm not looking within myself and saying, okay, well, you think that of me. What I care is, what does God think of me? What do I think of me? Am I in that state of joy with my creator? So that if you say, Ellen, you're fat, ugly, and stupid, and the psychic is a baked potato, I can say, oh, well, thank you for sharing your opinion. It doesn't remove my joy if I'm practicing in that way. And don't laugh at me. It's offensive.
How dare you insult? I am a member of the baked potato community, and I am offended that you use me as an example.
Oh, my God.
When you go on about this, but you know what also, Ellen, it also demonstrates the lack of faith. There are words that I find unacceptable that I don't like. There's all sorts of things, but you are correct. There's a difference between calling things what they ought to be called, because we had incorrect names for things for a long time in this society, and we are in correcting the names and being politically correct. And at some point, we stopped being present for reality. And what that demonstrates also, if you're going to get offended by minor things constantly, is honestly, let's be honest about what it is. It is a lack of faith. It says that you, by virtue of what you say, have power over me, and I have to protect myself from that. That's not true. None of that thinking is good. And that doesn't mean that you should, I also think that if you say things that are horrible about groups of people or any one individual, and we should say, we don't talk like that, and I don't want to hear that. That is, in fact, lowering our vibration. But it's very different from jumping down somebody's throat over something silly. We have decided to nursemaid our society back into the nursery, and I don't like it. You don't like it, but that's another topic. We'll do that next week on the rant show.
Okay. I don't think it's as off topic as we might think at first glance, John, because I do feel it is very important to what does offend me? You know, if that offends me, then I'm certainly not in touch with my joy. If you call me a twerp, I'm not going to like it, but I'm not going to let you steal my day because you called me a twerp. You know,
I'm just
going to go, okay, so you think I'm a twerp right now. Well, think I'm a twerp. It's not going to steal my joy, because where is my joy? My joy is not attached to circumstance. And it's one of the hardest things we learn is to say, well, what do you mean? I'll be happy when I have that Maserati. I'll be happy when I have that woman or that man or that house or that job or whatever. I'll be happy when... is a very dangerous statement to make, because that means that your happiness, your joy, your faith, all that we've been talking about for weeks here, is dependent on something outside of yourself. Now, it doesn't mean that if you call me up, John, and you say, hey, I really like that idea, that's a good idea, that I don't get a glow. Oh, wow, John thought highly of that. Great, that makes me feel good. But is my joy dependent on you or on that car or that man or that house or that whatever? Absolutely not. And if it is, then I'm in trouble, because I'll be happy when it is. How about looking at what we have now and feel it? Feel it in your body, that emanating force, whatever name you want to put on it, for me, it's God, that animating force emanating from you that is so such a high vibration that is not attached to anything but infinite love, infinite intelligence, infinite creation. If we make it a practice, like you said, John, for a minute a day, 2 minutes a day, whatever we can garner the focus to do, then we get more and more used to, oh, that's joy. That doesn't have to do with that I didn't get that man or I didn't get that car or that house or whatever it is. No, it has to do with my intimacy with the God of my understanding, and it has to do with the joy of knowing that I have that intimacy. And then when things happen that we go, oh, that's awesome, that's wonderful, it's an addition to that joy, but it is not the joy. Why? Because God is my source, not that Maserati. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Oh, makes perfect sense. And it also misses the point, Ellen. You're exactly right. I think that the practice here, and I want to make sure I clarify this because there is nuances here. It feels like it's more nuanced maybe than it actually is. I said earlier in an earlier segment about, let's be honest, we are practicing this because we want things in our lives. The final thing that we actually want is to become the people that we actually are. And the reason why I say that, and I'll dovetail in with what you just said, is because, is joy connected to circumstances? You have the great phrase, that's hilarious phrase, is then you get I will be happy when-itis.
Mm-hmm.
The reason, so if you sit down, you want I want a house. The point isn't actually at the end of the day the house, and you will vibrate that house into existence. You got to do the regular stuff. But you will, you know, you got to apply for the mortgage. You do all the things you do, but you will vibrate. The point of creating the house actually isn't to get the house because you'll be happy then. It's to become the person who owns a home. That's what's fascinating. That's what's fun. That's the joy of it. So the point isn't I will manifest $1 million in the next 5 years or the next 5 months or 5 minutes. It's not the $1 million isn't the point. The point is actually when you're connecting with the thing that's greater than you, which we have now have 3,000 words for, in the show alone.
just it, call it God, you, John.
God, or the presence, you know what I mean? As long as you're on the road to Damascus after you have the moment of clarity where you realize that God is present in your life, as long as you're there and you're present and you're practicing being in that presence, the point of manifesting $1 million or a house or a new car is because it's interesting to evolve into the person who owns the car. The real thing that you get out of it is to become the person who practiced their way into the house, manifested the house, if that's something that you want or you feel like you need to get better at in this life. I mean, but even if you watch people who are unconsciously, who aren't doing law of attraction stuff consciously, if you look at the steps of what they actually do and break them apart, and Napoleon Hill did this beautifully in Think and Grow Rich, where he studied people, and you know there are parameters and components that the same components that we're talking about, narrowing it down. And I just love what you just hit on. Do you get stuck in I will be happy itis, which doesn't mean I will be happy when itis. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't want things.
Oh, no.
What it means is that the joy of the practice of manifesting things is to become the person who was depressed and isn't depressed anymore, who did what, who stayed connected long enough to get through it, to find the doctor or the person who, had $5 in the bank. What will it be like to, I want to become the person who has $500,000 in the bank.
$5 million.
Go on, you know, go on to whatever it is. Endless stream. I mean, that's the joy, and you can stay in a constant state of joy. Some of the most joyous people I have ever known are people who are probably, I don't know, here, not illegally, who are working for a penny. Yeah, they are also, you know, sometimes unhappy, but the joy isn't actually dependent on the circumstance, and that makes the circumstance much easier to change.
Exactly.
Wow. I love that. I'm writing that myself down.
That is amazing. That is amazing. And I think, all right, jeepers, picky. I think it is amazing, and I like being amazed because it's the first cousin to joy. When I look at the sun rising up in the morning, and I've seen the sun rise for 66 years, but when I take that moment to watch the sun come up and the clouds are all different colors and it's just so beautiful and the night fades away and the light comes in and I have joy at that. I take a moment to be amazed at something that we all take for granted. Yes, the sun's coming up tomorrow. Of course it is. But I'm watching it happen right now. And I'm watching that slow rising of the sun. And I take a moment and I just stop everything. And I watch it come up and I say, I am amazed at the power of that giant star doing what it's done since, I don't know when, billions of years. And look at it. It's huge. It's beautiful. It warms us. It feeds us. It gives us power. And it is amazing to me when I take the time to be amazed or be awestruck. And we don't. We run through our day and we don't take the time. But if we make it a process and a practice to be, wow, that's amazing, and really look up the word and really understand the word and have that joy that's connected to it. If I'm amazed, dang it, I'm joyful. If I'm excited and enthusiastic, I am also experiencing joy. So I do think that it is incredibly important to be honest with ourselves. Why do we do this practice? Because we want to see how it works. We want something back. And I feel that we do good things not because we're so good. We do good things because it makes us feel good. When we've worked hard and practiced and affirmed and done all the stuff we know to do, and then we get a demonstration, that's exciting, John. That's like, wow, ding, ding, ding. That's a demonstration. I get to be excited about it. I'm not so evolved that I go, well, of course, yes. No, I'm like, oh, my God, John, look at this. I've been affirming this for 2 years, and here it is. Woohoo! Okay, I'm going to shut up now. We're going to take a break, and we will be right back here on Identity Theft of the Self. We will return in just a moment. Have you gone to EllenHartwell.com and ordered a journey reading? I do journey readings that will really enlighten you, not because I'm so gifted, but because what happens is as we look into the energy that you hold, past issues are brought up, present issues, and even some future issues that you can avoid or create all the more of by discovering your patterns, by discovering what is it that holds me back. Even some past life things can come up. For instance, I know someone who was terrified of the water, and you, most of you have heard about this kind of thing, but this is true. One of my callers was terrified of the water, and he discovered that he drowned in a past life. And once he knew that, he could put that in the past, as John Warren would say, spirit spent, and move forward understanding what that urge to run from any type of water was. So journey readings can help you in your everyday life, in your relationships, in your career. So call me today, go to EllenHartwell.com and purchase a journey reading, and we'll talk. Thank you so much, and enjoy your journey reading. It is transformative. That also is true. So, John, when
it's totally true. It's totally true. I've had one too, and you actually really helped me turn a corner. So, yes, I can give you the blurb on your book. The journey reading is fantastic.
Okay, thank you, John. You're too kind.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we calm down, as we quiet ourselves, and we really get in touch with joy, we get so it becomes familiar. It's kind of like learning a new language. And at first, we stumble over it. We're not very fluent. But then we get so we can say a few sentences in that language. And the language of joy is not very well known to us because identity theft of the self, it's taken away from us all the time. It happens all the time. Oh, well, you don't look like, I don't know, Brad Pitt, John, so you can't have joy. You know, or whatever it is, but it's stolen all the time. We'll be happy when we get that. We'll be happy if we have this, but we can't be happy in the now because we didn't buy Nikes this morning or whatever nonsense. Make sense?
Yeah, it does. I think there's a great note here in your notes earlier, Ellen, that I really appreciate, which is how do we hypnotize out of thinking that joy emanates from outside of us? And if there is a thing that changes everybody's life, and it can change your life instantaneously, even though in my case it has taken years and years to remember this. This is something that's so deeply embedded often, it doesn't have to be, that what will make you happy or joyous, I mean, and really in this case I think it's happiness, this big screen TV, or if you live in that neighborhood, or if you marry this wife and have that job, that's the route to happiness. And people profit off of that. There's no question about that. And people, including people in the spiritual line of business, you know, if you listen to this CD, these 24 steps to the perfect life, that somebody's making money off of that, that we get so readily and easily hypnotized into you'll get happy when – that it is, if there is a thing that can change your life instantaneously, it is this. And I'm giving it away for free right now. Is to learn that it's an inside job and it's never going to be an outside job. Mm-hmm. Ever. All that you do on the outside is a result of the desire to change something on the inside. So why not just start from the inside? It's an inside job. Become the person who owns the house. And you have to do things on the outside, but you will become a person who owns the house. Watch it happen. Watch it. And become, what do those people act like? Who are they? Et cetera, et cetera. Become, and, you know, Brad Pitt or Marilyn Monroe, but if you want to be beautiful, become, know absolutely that there is nothing, there is, you can't not be beautiful is actually the best way I can put it right now at 9:30 on Saturday morning. It's not possible for you to not be beautiful. It's just not, it's actually just not possible because you are evolved through something that is so beyond words beautiful. You're a result of that. So own that, keep that on the inside, and I promise you, you walk in the room with charisma. Eventually, maybe it'll take you a practice of a month or a year, but you will, eventually that will happen. The power of that will emanate into your experience. But that's it. I mean, it is, there's a lot of people who have a vested interest out of fear and greed in keeping us thinking that happiness, and I'm saying happiness here specifically, I'm not misusing, not saying joy, but that what you want is happiness, and it's then it happens outside of you. And actually what most of us, what we all want, really, I've yet to meet a person who doesn't want this finally in the end, is joy that emanates from the inside. That's what you're actually after. And it takes practice because there's a lot of, the world is loud. It's loud. I don't even care. If you're connected in any way to the internet, it's loud, period. It doesn't matter if you're on a mountain in, the Sierra Nevada or you're in the middle of lower Manhattan. The world is loud. And there's stuff coming at you. And to practice and to be quiet and to be connected. I think really this shows to me about, Ellen, it's about staying connected because that connection is where my, you know what, it's going to be okay. And there's this abiding peace and joy. And it's actually really interesting. It's lovely. The world is lovely and I'm connected to it. And it's happening through me and around me. And that is... that lily pad that is called joy. And as long as we are there, if we can practice staying there, then what becomes of whether or not you get the big screen, I'm going back to this again and again, or the big screen TV or it doesn't matter. But ironically, and I think this is ironic, we'll call Alanis Morissette and ask her if it is or not. Ironically, the more detached you are, the more you understand that the big screen TV isn't the thing that actually gives you joy, the easier it is to go, it's one of two things. It's either the easier it is, oh yeah, that's a screen, that's a big screen, the more that you can manifest something, or the more quickly you go, oh, I'm not interested in having that thing take up my wall at all. I want to put a print of, you know, my son's painting. I want nothing there. I want a blank wall because it soothes me. That one of those two things will happen. I don't know why I was thinking a big screen TV would make me happy. Yeah, it doesn't make me happy at all. I don't even like TV. Something will happen that you will become more yourself. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I hope it does.
It does. Absolutely it does. And I think it's important to bring that out because we so intensely want X. We want it so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go, okay, I have that. And we put it down. We've put it in God's inbox. We've said, okay, I am a person who has that. Now let me do everything around that because I've already given it to Spirit and said, I have this. And God says, you have it? And you go, uh-huh. And God says, mm-hmm. Oh, okay, so noted. And then we do all the footwork around that to have that, and then we walk away and go about another project or creating something else or affirming something else. And pretty soon, guess what? It comes back to us, as it says in Super Beings, as a masterpiece. So I don't say, I want that. I say, I have it. And I may have to say, I have that for a year or two or 10 years, doesn't matter, but I'll have it. And you're so right, John, because what we, I have this, I have this. Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Even if I do have that, I think, hello, God. And God goes, yeah. You know how I said, you know, I have that Maserati? Yeah, I'm working on that. Okay, great. And I appreciate that, God, but I've changed my mind. Really? Yeah. Okay, so what is it that you have now? Well, I actually have an RV, and I want to go across country, and I want to meet John, and I want to go to the Grand Canyon in it. So now I have that. Oh, you sure? Yeah, okay, so noted, and so forth. To change that which we have, we don't want to say I want, we want to say I have, and then look at it morph and get in touch with our joy and make sure that we're not being stolen from, identity theft of the self. Make sure it's not a hypnotic event. If I don't see the Grand Canyon before I die, I haven't lived. Oh, jeepers, really? Let's be careful of that. But when you have a strong desire for something and you add gratitude and joy and you're willing to go back to the drawing board and say, you know what, not a Maserati, an RV, or not that guy, this guy, or this kind of guy, or whatever, then things start to move much more quickly, and we dump in a lot of joy because joy is a very high vibration, and things start to move. Yes, they do, John.
Yes, they do. And it's interesting, Ellen. I'm so glad we're discussing this. I hope the listeners are getting something out of it, but I can tell you, I certainly am. I just got a new layer here. This is sort of, I'm downloading stuff. I can feel it, and it feels really good. This topic is actually helping me just to talk out loud on the radio. It's fantastic. I keep coming back to over and over again. It is staying connected, and again, in a 12-step context, you might say surrendering to, staying connected to a power greater than yourself, Jesus or the Lord or however you want to put it, Allah. Staying connected to that, there is a sense of, again, making sure, because happiness is dependent on circumstances often. Joy isn't. And the manifestation comes with ease out of joy, because you're exactly right. You had it. If you can stay consistent, if you can, but we all can, staying as consistently as possible in a state of, oh, I'm connected. And as a result of that, I'm fine. I'm going to be really, really, I'm fine, I'm good in this situation. It's one of the few places where people say, I'm fine. And if you're connected to joy, you actually mean it. I'm fine. I'm really okay. It doesn't matter what happens out here. I'm okay because I'm connected to the thing that created me. I'm consciously connected to the thing that created me. You can't be disconnected, but you can be unconscious about your connection. I'm consciously connected to that which created me. I am in a state of communion with that that created me. And that the result of that is a state of, I love your metaphor about language, a language that I have learned and I'm getting better at learning and I'm becoming fluent in, which is joy, what we're defining in this show at this moment as joy. And as a result of that, I am always in the right place. The things that are right for me are always manifesting. Where I direct my energy results in a physical manifestation. My thoughts become things much more easily. They become things anyway. But they do it from a, I am doing it from a conscious plateau, not from an unconscious place, which is, you know, a fear or whatever it is. I'm not fear. This is joy is the opposite of fear. I'm actually manifesting out of the opposite of fear, and that means the things that come into my life make my life bigger, and the people who are around me make their lives better as well. And it's a beautiful thing. This is a great topic. I think when we get off the air, we should just I'm just going to sit and meditate for the rest of the day, because I'm just being, whatever's happening is downloading here. I'm really sort of, I love this topic. It's really, it's rich, Ellen.
Yeah.
It goes well.
Oh, well, thank you. God did, but okay. And to really hone in on learning that new language and getting a sense of, I'm not hypnotized anymore. Nobody has stolen. There's no identity of the self going on. And when there is, I recognize it and I don't go, oh, my God. I just go, oh, yeah, there's that thing again. Let me just change my vibration by focusing on joy, by focusing on that quiet presence. Joy isn't woohoo. Joy is a quiet, abiding presence of a power greater than myself working through me and around me at all times. And it doesn't mean that I don't long for something. I do. So then I say, okay, I have that, and I dump joy and gratitude into it, and then I sit back and put my feet up and go, ha, I wonder what form this is going to take, because I know it's going to be awesome. And if we're experiencing fear or anxiety or illness or sorrow or loss or whatever our flesh is telling us we're experiencing, we can say, yeah, you know, I get that. I understand that. And that's not all there is. We can move gently back into, yes, I did experience that, and I still have joy. And that is the practice, to have joy even when external circumstances may not be so wonderful by the flesh's interpretation. And we are going to take a very short break. We will be right back here on Identity Theft of the Self. Have you visited AskMariaNow.info? You haven't? Why not? You should see her site. It's gorgeous. Maria is a psychic and intuitive tarot card reader. She is a Reiki master, and she gives the most detailed, beautiful, uplifting, honest readings. She is fantastic. Go book a reading with her now at AskMariaNow.info. That's AskMariaNow.info. She is good. I mean, she's really good. AskMariaNow.info. Go pay her a visit and book a reading. So, John, joy is part of being aware that I am gradually and more every day unencumbered by external and more aware of internal goings on. And it is a language. It is a language. And we get to be who we are. We get to say things how we say them. Yes, with consideration for others, of course, but we get to express ourselves as we see fit today. And I guarantee you, that expression is going to change as we get more in touch with joy, as we get freer from race mind consciousness, as we move into our authentic self, the self that is unencumbered by what mommy said, daddy said, friends say, the commercials say, the internet says, blah, blah, yada, yada. The more we have that, the more we can break through that very thin veil behind which lives the joy of creation. Where is that? That is within ourselves. Yes, John?
Absolutely. There's no question about it. And I love that you said it's a very thin veil, because it is. We can talk about this and we go around this and we practice it. And I've been practicing this stuff for a long time. But at the end of the day, it doesn't have to be difficult. It's not difficult. It takes focus. Focus is far more important than effort. And it takes, if you're going to have effort, or put it this way, sweat or work, if you're going to have effort, the effort should be directed toward focusing. Focusing on staying connected to that thing. And again, I need a new phrase here. I'm going to get off the radio. I'm going to write down a few, how I'm going to do this. Staying connected to that thing that created us, the reason why we're here, and flowing through that, allowing that to flow through. And then we can direct our consciousness, and invariably, you're exactly right, Ellen. What it is that you think you want, often I work with people, and I know it's true of myself, coming with something that I insist that has to happen, and you can force it to happen. God so loved the world that he allows us, it allows us to manifest things that are not beneficial. Because we focus on it, it will go away eventually, and it usually abruptly, often is the case. But the more we practice, but that's not manifestations coming from joys. Those are sort of hallucinations coming from fear, and they go away. The manifestations that are not built on sand, but are built on rock, that will stay in our lives, invariably emanate from being seated in that consciousness that you are connected to something greater than yourself, and you are directing that consciousness toward an expanded experience that helps you and helps others. And those are the things that we find ourselves that we are enjoying. And I'm going to tell you, you can see it all around us. And one of the good things about living in a noisy, loud world is that if you want to focus on, one of my favorite is Serena Williams. I go back to her all the time. She practices this without knowing it, or maybe she does know it, all the time. She's always thanking God, always thanking her opponent, always making the effort, and always being grateful. And she keeps manifesting really things that she wants in her life. And it's beautiful to watch, but you can find that true of anywhere. Start looking at the world from the law of attraction standpoint, and you will see you will see this practice all the time. Do it from a place of joy, and it will benefit. It will benefit you always. And it's also just really interesting to become the people, become the person who has the house, become the person who has $1 million, because that is what we're doing here. We're expanding and being in the universe is expanding, being in the presence, of God is actually the most expansive thing you can do. And then you just get to play. You get to play.
Well, and I agree with you, as you know. I wonder if we need to be a little bit more clear on, you know, what is that presence of joy? What is it? How do I get there, John? How do I get to that joy? Well, it's a focus. You're right. It is a focus, and it is a way of being with myself in a quiet moment as many times a day as I can manage, and be in that sense of I am joy, I am delight, I am always in the presence of a power greater than myself. And I, for me, because that is Jesus, God in the form of Christ, that Christ energy, when I do that and I focus, I mean, we all have our own image of whatever God we worship is what they look like, and also Mother Mary for me too. But I take Jesus and Mother Mary and maybe Buddha, and I sit them down in front of me in my mind, and I really spend time visualizing them. And sometimes I get Ernest Holmes in on this stuff. Doesn't matter. I have a little spiritual party. But for now, let's just say it's Jesus. And I say, how you doing, dude? And he goes, great. How are you? And we talk a little bit. And pretty soon, there's a conversation that takes me out of, I have to do the dishes, and I have to walk the dog, and I have to get online, and I have to do this, and I have to do that. And being a human doing, and brings me back into my human beingness, which is a vessel, my flesh, is a vessel for God, Spirit, universe, whatever, for me, the living light and love of Christ. And the more I get into that living, loving light, the darkness, the light came into the world and the darkness knew it not, my health improves, my focus improves, my mental attitudes improve, and my manifestations come to me more speedily and sometimes in very surprising forms. So it's Christmas every day if I allow it to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's beautiful. I mean, I love Christmas every day, just because, especially using, you know, the examples that you use, because that's the entire point, that the light came into the darkness. It's, you know, the 25th of December. It's the longest time. It's not the longest day, but one of the longest days of the year. And the light was born into the world. I mean, it is Christmas every day. That is the practice that we're going after. And Ellen, another way I'd say to get it is, people who are unpracticed at this and want to try it, I will say to them bluntly, fake it. Fake it.
Absolutely.
Fake it. Fake it. Just, you know what? You've gotten this far. You've gotten this far. And you're like, this didn't work, and this didn't work, and this didn't work. Pretend. fake it for 10 days and see how you feel. Mm-hmm. Meaning, if you, what I mean in this specific instance is that call Ellen or email Ellen or email me or you know, talk to somebody or look online to just who is joyous, someone who emanates joy to you, that feels connected and is the thing that we've spent the last 50 minutes talking about. Look at that. And then, because you're an intelligent adult, presumably, pretend tomorrow morning, sit for 5 minutes and pretend you're as joyous as that person is. Just, the great phrase, fake it till you make it. Eventually, the universe, and when I say eventually, that's not usually that long. If you try this for 30 days, it is the 7th of November, between now and Pearl Harbor Day, and December 7th, if you start right now and practice for 5 minutes, I'm going to pretend to be the most joyous, serene person I have ever met. I'm going to be happy and joyous and free. I'm going to be that person because I'm going to pretend I believe that being connected to a God I'm not even sure is there. I'm going to pretend I believe this. For 5 minutes a day, for 30 days, your life will change. The universe will bend itself to that new inner reality that you have introduced. And then it will become something that you start believing. Is that hypnotism? No, it's different. It's different from that. But the only way sometimes that you can get people to start on this is to just say, okay, fake it. You faked that you liked jobs before so you didn't get fired. We all fake things. We've all been in bad relationships for a period of time where we faked it like we wanted to be there. You know, I did that in my youth in a younger time. It's like, oh, no. And then you realize later. And I think there's something, again, to just say, try this. Try it. Pretend. And that's what I was going to say. I want to hit that point because I think it's important. People think this is mysterious and far, and it's not mysterious and far. And it won't even take up that much time. 5 minutes a day. Just start. Just start.
I start.
I am centered in joy. Yeah, exactly. I did too. And I faked like I could get through days without alcohol. I pretended, and eventually I did. I got through days, which is another story. Years and years ago, pretend. And I think it's important. I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but this is not complicated. It's nuanced, and it's fascinating, and it will uncover many things, this practice, and it will be fun, and it will take a certain amount of time, but that time is not wasted ever, A, and B, there will be results. There really are results, and anyone can start this practice, and anyone can seat themselves down in joy. Can find the part of them that's the seed of joy. It's there because God created you, period. You didn't have to earn it. It is given to you.
And
it's free. It's there. Start. And when that seed is discovered and watered and nurtured, it will bloom. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but doesn't matter.
Well said, John. And I think it's also important to remember that most of us fake it till we make it anyway. And it sounds like, oh, that's hypocritical. It is not.
Mm-hmm.
It is not.
Mm-hmm.
When the neighbor
mm-hmm.
knocks on my door and says, have you seen my dog? And I am busy. I don't have time to look for that mutt that bites my ankles. I don't. But I go, gee, no, I haven't. Give me a minute. I'll come out and help you. And we find the dog. Did I fake it? Yeah. Well, I want people kind to me, so I try to be kind to them. And we
mm-hmm.
do it in all kinds of ways. You know, we're having mm-hmm. this, I call it the UPS syndrome. We're having this huge fight with our partner, and the doorbell rings, and it's the UPS man. Oh, hi, John. Thank you for dropping this off to me today. Have a wonderful day. How are the kids? Oh, good. And then we close the door. And you rotten, no good, son of a turnip. We just faked
mm-hmm.
it with the UPS man. So if we can fake it like that, we can fake it in our manifestations. We can. And it's wonderful to remember that because I think it can be very intimidating. We think, oh, my God, I'll never get there. Well, we all started faking it until we make it on this stuff. So if I can and John can, so are you. John, I'm going to say this on the air. We're almost out of time here. But I think we have more to cover on this topic of joy and
mm-hmm.
how to find it and how to use it. Are,
yeah, yeah.
are you up for doing segment 2 next Saturday?
Yeah, I think so. I think
okay.
Sure. Great. The lady's telling us 60 seconds of
I know.
Control room. We need to get off.
I know, we do. So we will continue this conversation next Saturday at noon, Eastern Standard Time, 9 Pacific Time and 11 Central Time. We thank you for listening, and go create the best day you ever had. And, John, you be well and blessed and happy and joyful, okay?
I am.
Okay.
See you guys next week.
Take care, everyone. Bye.